Please be seated. Let's turn in our Bibles to our Old Testament scripture reading, continuing our study of the book of Jeremiah. This morning we're in Jeremiah chapter 11, and the verses we'll be reading are verses 1 through 17. Jeremiah chapter 11, 1 through 17. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Hear the words of this covenant, and speak to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. You shall say to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, cursed be the man who does not hear the words of this covenant that I commanded your fathers when I brought them out of the land of Egypt, from the iron furnace, saying, listen to my voice and do all that I command you. So you shall be my people, and I will be your God, that I may confirm the oath that I swore to your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then I answered, so be it, Lord. And the Lord said to me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. Hear the words of this covenant and do them. For I solemnly warned your fathers when I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, warning them persistently even to this day, saying, obey my voice. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear. But everyone walked in the stubbornness of his evil heart. Therefore, I brought upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did not. Again, the Lord said to me, a conspiracy exists among the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They've turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, who refused to hear my words. They've gone after gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant that I made with their fathers. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am bringing disaster upon them that they cannot escape. Though they cry to me, I will not listen to them. And the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem will go and cry to the gods to whom they make offerings. But they cannot save them in the time of their trouble. For your gods have become as many as your cities, O Judah, and as many as the streets of Jerusalem are the altars you have set up to shame, altars to make offerings to Baal. Therefore, do not pray for this people, or lift up a cry or a prayer on their behalf, for I will not listen when they call to me in their time of trouble. What right has my beloved in my house when she has done many vile deeds? Can even sacrificial flesh avert your doom? Can you then exalt? The Lord once called you a green olive tree, beautiful, with good fruit. But with the roar of a great tempest, he will set fire to it, and its branches will be consumed. The Lord of hosts who planted you has decreed disaster against you because of the evil that the house of Israel and the house of Judah have done, provoking me to anger by making offerings to Baal. Congregation of Christ, are you hearing me all right? Do you really hear me? The English word hear can have a variety of different senses. Hear can mean sensing vibrations or noise in your ears, the perception of sound. It can mean to understand or to agree with. As when we say, oh, I hear you on that. It can have the sense of listening. Do you hear me, young man? May mean, are you listening or paying attention? But it may just as well mean, do you understand me? And it can even mean obey, in the sense of the older English word hearken. Hear what I say. Hearken to what I say. Obey what I say. If we were a Jewish congregation meeting in a synagogue, the words with which we would have began our worship service this morning would have been the words of Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. It's a verse known as the Great Shema. And it's called that because the verse begins with the Hebrew word Shema, the word hear. And like the English word hear, Shema can have various senses, and therefore it's translated by a variety of English words. Well, our text this morning from Jeremiah 11, in that text, Shema occurs 9 times. The ESV translates it as hear 4 times, translates it as listen 3 times, and twice it renders it as obey. You'll also find the words meaning essentially the same thing, incline your ear, in verse 8. The passage has to do with hearing. In verse 3, and again in verse 6, God tells Jeremiah to proclaim to the people of Judah and Jerusalem, hear the words of this covenant. This covenant refers to the covenant or agreement that God made with the people of Israel when he brought them up out of the land of Egypt. He would be their God, and they would be his people. The covenant wasn't an agreement or contract between equals. The Lord, as the sovereign king of the universe, established and declared what the terms of the covenant were to be. He laid out the stipulations of the covenant. Israel was to obey him and to serve him only. They were to have no other gods. God told them that he was jealous about his people's affections. He wouldn't share them with other so-called gods. The analogy to marriage was really apparent. Just as a husband or a wife has the right to expect from their marriage partner faithfulness, and would be terribly jealous and justified in feeling jealous if their partner went off flirting with someone else or pursuing the affections of another. So the Lord told Israel, I am a jealous God. I'm jealous about you. And he said he would punish them to the 3rd or 4th generation if they forsook him to pursue other gods. So God told the people of Israel what the blessings of the covenant would be and what the curses of the covenant would be for violating it. If they obeyed him, the Israelites would enjoy the goodness of the land which he was giving them. A land flowing with milk and honey, just as you can read in verse 5. God would be their God. And he would bless them with prosperity and protection in the land. If they didn't obey him, however, if they refused to hear, the curses of the covenant would come upon them. Their enemies would rule over them. It would take only one of their enemies to chase 1,000 unfaithful Israelites. They'd be cast out of the land. In verse 11, God says that because Israel's broken the covenant, he will send on them disaster which you cannot escape. Hearing is the prime obligation of being in covenant relationship with God. Israel was to hear his commands. The Israelites were to remind themselves of God's commands by writing them on the door frames of their houses and by tying them to their foreheads and to their wrists. They were to meditate on God's law by thinking about it, trying to understand it better and better. They were to talk about it at home and on the road with their children and with each other, never forgetting that God had taken them to be his very own people. We read that prayer of Jeremiah last Sunday where he prayed, "I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not for man to direct his steps." The Israelites were not to think of themselves as their own. They belonged to the Lord. They were bonded to him through the covenant that God had made with them. They were to hear the words, the terms of the covenant. Not only were they to listen to them, though that's very important, they were to keep them ever before their eyes. They were to obey them. It's the same with those of us who are Christians. We are to hear his commands. We're to read his word. We're to put Christ's words into practice, both hearing them and doing them. We're to keep his commandments. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And he said, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Hearing in the new covenant as well as under the old is our prime obligation. But just as in a marriage relationship, a couple could reach a point where they start taking each other for granted, where they don't really listen to their marriage partner anymore. So the people of God can get to a point where they no longer hear the words of God's covenant. And when that happens, the curses of the covenant fall upon them. That's what verse 3 is saying. "Cursed be the man who does not hear the words of this covenant that I commanded your fathers when I brought them out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace." The people of Israel and the people of Judah were no longer hearing the words of the covenant. They weren't obeying them anymore. They were acting as if their lives, their ways, were their own. But they thought that they were all right since they were still bringing sacrifices to the Lord at the temple. Look at verse 15. "What right has my beloved in my house when she has done many vile deeds? Can even sacrificial flesh avert your doom? Can you then exalt?" The Israelites were like a man who goes out and he spends the evening with his mistress or with a prostitute and then comes home to his wife and justifies it by saying, "Well, I'm bringing a paycheck home to you, aren't I? I'm supporting you." You can't go and burn incense at the temple of Baal and then come to the Lord's house and offer sacrificial flesh and think that everything will be okay. God says, that won't avert your doom. Don't think that it will. The curses of the covenant fall on covenant breakers. So God's judgment, God's righteous curses are falling on the people of Judah. God's judgments are severe, but God is always just. His judgments always fit the offense. They fit the crime. The Israelites have burned incense to Baal, verse 13. I know the ESV just says offerings. You read some of the other translations, they're talking about burning incense. God is going to burn them up. Look at verses 16 and 17. The Lord once called you a green olive tree, beautiful and with good fruit. But with the roar of a great tempest, a storm, he'll set fire to it and its branches will be consumed. The olive tree is going to be struck with lightning and it will burn. You love fire? You love burning incense on Baal's altar? God will send his fire on you. The Lord of hosts who planted you has decreed disaster against you because of the evil that the house of Israel and the house of Judah have done, provoking me to anger by making offerings to Baal. It's severe justice, but the judgment fits the offense. That God would send his fire down on the olive tree is bad enough. But there's something else here. Another part of the judgment which should make us even more afraid. And again, it's a judgment which fits the offense. God says, because you haven't heard or listened to or obeyed the words of the covenant, I will not listen to you. Verse 11. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am bringing disaster upon them that they cannot escape. Though they cry to me, I will not listen to them. If you aren't a believer, or if you're only a nominal Christian, you're probably saying, well, I'd be way more afraid of lightning coming down out of heaven and consuming me than about God not listening. But this judgment is really worse. Not hearing the words of the covenant put you under the curse of God not hearing you. How terrible would it be if when you're getting beaten up on the street, the policeman who sees it turns his head and walks away. You cry for help, but your cry goes unheeded. When your child comes home from school and tells you about some abusive incident that happened that day, how would it be if you acted as if you just didn't even hear what she told you? What if you were swimming in a lake and got the cramps and started going down? You cried out to the lifeguard, but the lifeguard ignored you. In some ways, that's even worse than the danger that you were in. God tells Jeremiah not to pray, not to intercede for this people. Verse 14, do not pray for this people or lift up a cry or a prayer on their behalf, for I will not listen when they call to me in their time of trouble. It's a horrible thing when your protector or defender doesn't hear you or becomes indifferent to your danger. And this isn't the only place in Jeremiah where God says this. He said it back in chapter 7, verse 16. He'll say it again in chapter 14, 11. The true prophets of Israel always interceded for God's people. Moses interceded for the people when God was about to wipe them out after they committed idolatry by worshiping the golden calf. Samuel interceded for the people when the armies of the Philistines came against them and Saul, their king, disobeyed the commandment God gave him through Samuel. We haven't come to it yet, but in chapter 15, verse 1, God will say to Jeremiah, "Though Moses and Samuel stand before me, yet my heart would not turn toward this people. Send them out of my sight and let them go." The punishment for turning your back on God is God turning his back on you. The punishment for not hearing the words of this covenant is that God will not hear you in the day of trouble. Though they cry to me, I will not listen to them. Then the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem will go and cry to the gods to whom they have made offerings, but they cannot save them in their time of trouble. For your gods have become as many as your cities, O Judah, and as many as the streets of Jerusalem are the altars that you have set up to shame, altars to make offerings to Baal. You're probably not very used to hearing words like these. That God in his justice will not hear the cry of those who do not hear him? After all, aren't we taught in Scripture to call God our Father? Doesn't Jesus encourage us to go to God with our requests and needs? To cry out to him? My Christian friends are always saying, God will always be there for me. He'll always hear me when I cry out to him. How can you say God will not hear? Let me ask you a question. Why does God hear you? Do you think you deserve to be heard? Friends, the only reason God the Father hears you when you cry out to him in prayer is because he once turned a deaf ear to his Son. Jesus prayed to God the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. He asked the Father to take the cup of suffering away from him, and God didn't answer. Jesus had to drink that cup alone. Why did he have to drink it alone? Because the cup contained the punishment for our sins. Our sins had been laid on Christ. He drank from the cup so that we wouldn't have to drink from it. But the judgments that were in the cup were the judgments we deserved. God didn't answer his Son when he prayed in Gethsemane. And when he was on the cross, he cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" And they mocked him and they said, he's calling Elijah. Let's see if Elijah will come and save him. He wasn't calling Elijah. He was calling out to God. God wouldn't listen. He wouldn't listen to his Son because his Son was taking the punishment we deserved for our not listening, for our not hearing the words of the covenant. Yes, it's true that God the Father will hear you when you call on him in prayer. But do you forget why it is that he hears you? Why do we end our prayers with the words, in Jesus' name, or for Jesus' sake? Every once in a while I hear someone critiquing the prayers of another person. It always makes me feel uneasy whenever someone critiques a prayer. After all, prayer isn't for our ears, it's for God's ears to hear. But sometimes someone critiques a prayer saying, you didn't conclude your prayers with the words, for Jesus' sake, amen. Friends, when Jesus taught us to pray in His name, He wasn't interested in giving us the right form of words with which to end our prayer. He isn't half as concerned with form as we are. He was teaching us that our access to the Father is through Him. The Father hears us only because once He didn't hear His Son, when His Son, our Lord Jesus, was bearing our sins. That's why we say, in Jesus' name. It's not about having the right form or saying the right words. It's about God not listening to His Son so that our prayers might be heard through Him. It's so easy to take our access to God for granted. And that's probably why we don't consider prayer more of a privilege than we do. But the curse of God fell on His Son so that God would listen to us and that we might be heard. Christ has opened the ears of God to people who willfully wouldn't listen to God, to you and to me. What a privilege for us that God is not deaf to our cries. But how then can we pray to God without listening to Him? How can we come into His presence while our hearts are still refusing to listen to Him? Not listening in prayer. You don't listen to God in prayer. You listen to His Word. God listens to you in prayer. You listen to Him in His Word, His covenantal Word, the Scriptures, the Bible. And we need to be listening to Him if we want Him to be listening to us. God listens to us because of the Word He's spoken to us in the Gospel of His Son. And so God declared His judgment to Jeremiah on those who don't hear, who don't listen to the words of the covenant. And that judgment fell on Jesus so that we might be heard. So let us be listening people. People who hear the word and hear it not just with our ears, but hear it by understanding it and obeying it, living it out in our lives. And may we never take for granted our access to the Father through Jesus, the one who makes our cry to be heard on high. Let's bow in prayer. Father, it's a privilege to be heard by You. Forgive us, Lord, for not listening, for not hearing, not obeying. And thank You, Lord, that Your Son Jesus paid the price for us to be heard on high. Father, it's hard for us to contemplate you not hearing your Son, the Son you love so well. But you did it for us. He bore our sin. And we thank you this morning that we have access to your throne above through him, and that our Lord Jesus intercedes before your throne. What a privilege. Thank you for his rich grace, which reaches down to us who are sinners, who deserve nothing but the curse. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. Through Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen.